Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, welcome back, my baby boomer friends, to the show which hopefully will not have an end. It's Another Day Above Ground, the show where we just celebrate the fact we're on this side of the sod because we're all baby boomers. And that means we're probably closer to the finish line than we are to the starting line, so we're just happy to be here. And we'd like to talk to you about baby boomer issues. I can't do that alone, of course. I'd need help from my boomer buddies. First of all, from the great state of Indiana, the man I call the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Hey, it looks like Toronto is going to win the NBA championship, and St. Louis just won the Stanley Cup, which scientists are saying is more evidence of the poles switching.
I think they're both mostly Canadians. There's very few poles in either one of those teams. And wincing, even though you can't see her, she is wincing at that joke. Our fashionista expert extraordinaire from Denver, Colorado, Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, everybody. And if we're talking sports, let's talk about Nadal. He won the French Open for the 12th time. So apparently this is our sports update. Oh, and speaking of sports, Garth Brooks took over Mile High Stadium the other night, and apparently best concert of his life, 84,000 people. Have you guys ever performed for 84,000 people?
I have performed for, I think the biggest audience I ever performed for was like 25,000 at an outdoor venue.
Wow, that's super cool.
Yeah, they hated me.
What is the French Open?
Tennis?
it's one of their many positions. You know, they invented a lot of that.
It's before the French kiss and after the French bread. I don't know.
if I know my history, the French are better at closing.
To start this week, I thought we'd kick off with a couple of stories that were in the news. Since we're talking to you, the baby boomer, we're concerned about your health. And all things that come out health-related, we like to bring up. For instance, out of Boulder, Colorado, a group of people with the urine therapy of Colorado have found that drinking your own pee is good for you. Apparently, Gandhi was onto something.
I think Hemingway did that, too.
Yeah, but this was 80 proof.
Hey, those of us out here in Colorado, man, we'll try anything that we think will make us healthy. We're the first ones to legalize anything that'll make us healthy, so come on.
Well, actually, you drink your pee out there, you're probably going to get wasted.
Again. Hey, yeah. You know, why spend the money twice, right? Spend it once, get a double. Come on.
And one guy said he couldn't get rid of the eczema on his hands until he began soaking his hands in his own urine. And that got rid of the eczema. He also hasn't had the flu since no one will shake hands with him.
So. He also hasn't had a date in a few years at all.
Well, actually, that's supposed to prevent athlete's foot. That's what you're supposed to do. Is you're supposed to rinse the shower, the floor of the shower, before you get in.
What's also the alleged cure for jellyfish stings, which I found out is not really true. But I remember once.
Yeah, who came up with that idea? R. Kelly.
A friend of ours got a jellyfish sting, so we figured now's the time to test science. So we peed on him.
Did it work?
No, we knew it wasn't going to work, but how often do you get to pee on your friends?
Well, if you're in the White House, whenever you want.
Oh, jeez. And, you know, and the other concern for baby boomers is safety. You know, we want to make sure we're safe. That's why people keep arms in the house or attack dogs. And one guy apparently couldn't afford a dog. It's a guy down in Alabama. So he got himself a squirrel and started feeding it meth so that it got mean.
Well, you know, if I broke into a house and somebody sent a squirrel after me, you know, I wouldn't want to lose my nuts. You know, that's what they're going to go for.
And, you know, he's got those teeth just sticking out, you know, like the.
No, he doesn't. Like he's on meth. His teeth fell out. His teeth rotted out. He just doesn't have those teeth anymore. Come on.
Still, getting gummed by a squirrel can't be good, you know.
Don't knock until you've tried it.
So anyhow, heads up, baby boomers. You know, drink your own pee and feed a squirrel meth. But if those two things don't interest you, you may be more interested in things to do with the rest of your lives. You know, what am I going to do next? Well, fortunately, this week, we've decided to answer that question.
That's why we invented our special guest to be with us this week, a man who actually has given back and continues to. He is a world-renowned professional speaker. He comes to us from beautiful California, Southern California, and his name is Ed Rigsby. How are you today, Ed?
Dale, I'm doing awesome. Thanks for asking. I have not gone toes up, so I'm here with you.
That's good. I just read in the paper where California is now going to be extending health benefits to all illegal alien residents. Have you decided how much that's going to be a hit on your taxes?
Yeah, I think they said it was $300 million. But here in California, we are delusional. We are the land of fruits and nuts, as you know, and we export more fruits and nuts than anybody. But, you know, the reality is... we seem to think that there's just an endless supply of money on the money tree. And all Gavin Newsom has to do is just go pick some more. So it's fun. It's probably time to move to Utah. Who knows?
Yeah, don't come to Illinois because our taxes are going up for any unknown reason. It's the land of graft and greed. And so they're proving that again. Anyhow, Ed, and I'd like you to introduce you to Tim and Carolyn. And Ed and I have known each other for a long time. He actually started a charity. Take us through that. It's called the Cigar Pig. And people probably don't understand what that means in the first place. But tell us about the charity, Ed.
The basic process, whatever state you're in, you first have to incorporate in that state. And you have to incorporate as a nonprofit. Then you have to apply to the IRS to get a charity status, which is 501c3. That's a tax code status. And then when you get that, then you go back to the state. And then you go back to, you know, there's a little bit of back and forth. But effectively, when you start a public nonprofit charity, one doesn't pay for their, quote, profits, which we don't call them profits because it's nonprofit. We call it revenue. Also, the organization can give tax receipts. So, you know. Whoever needs a tax receipt, I usually prefer that they make a donation first. But anyway, whoever needs a tax receipt, we can.
Isn't a 501c3 the same chapter that PACs are filed under?
No, PACs are filed under C4s.
Okay.
Yeah. And so isn't that plastic explosive?
I was just going to say that's how you blow things up, right? Isn't that the point?
Well, it's fascinating. The IRS law is kind of screwy in the respect that. Charities like a 501c3, we can't do any political work or we're at risk of losing our status. So, you know, most of the trade associations out there and societies that people belong to, they're 501c6s. I'm pretty sure the PACs are C4s, all the political stuff. So there's you know, a handful of different kinds of charities that are nonprofit. Under the tax code, but I don't think anybody really gives a hoot about the tax code.
So, Ed, you get to park anywhere you want, right? Because don't you get that license plate thing because you started a charity where you can park anywhere legally?
What do you, you get a special plate if you own a charity or if you run a charity?
God, no, you don't get squat.
There you go. So first, let me. So first of all, you got to decide. I'm going to start a charity for some specific purpose. Is that correct?
Yeah. When you start a charity, you have to have articles of incorporation, and you have to have bylaws. And the bylaws effectively say, and there's boilerplate stuff on the internet you can get, but it basically says what your mission is. If somebody's sitting here listening to this, I assume that somebody is listening to this. I'm hoping somebody's listening to this. But it is if somebody.
Oh, we've had that hope for weeks.
Yes.
Months.
We're number three in third world countries now. So,
you know. So if somebody's listening to this, it's like, you know, if you're retired and you got tons of time, hey, you probably belong to some kind of professional society or trade association when you're working. Man, go back to that organization if you quit. Number one, if you quit, shame on you. You should have stayed as an emeritus member. But go back to that association. Look around. Find out where there's a hole and see if you can fill it with a charity. Couple approaches. Number one, what do you care about? What floats your boat? Care about animals? You care about, you know, starving kids in India? You know, and not trying to say what's good or bad, because it doesn't matter. It's what you care about. Well, you can go get involved in a charity, because there's probably a bunch of them. And if it doesn't do the type of work you want it to do, after you learn a little bit, you can start a new one that goes through a little bit different path. Or go get involved with your past trade association, professional society. If you want to start a charity, you better have an ability to fundraise, because otherwise, how are you going to do your work if you don't have any money? So, you know,
well, that's true with any business. If an underfunded business is probably going to go under, so you want to make sure you have enough money. So first, you decide on what you want to. Like, I've always wanted to start a halfway house for girls that wouldn't go all the way. And I thought that would be a perfect thing. And then I thought I'd start, you know, a home for unwed fathers. I thought would be a good thing, but you got to make sure that it's a charity that has more wide reaching effects than that. Is that correct?
I was going to say one that's not quite specific to you, Dale.
I think GQ magazine would sponsor this charity for you. I think, you know, that's where you go. So, you know, the thing is, if you're starting some kind of a charity, I mean, go to your network. I mean, you probably have a life insurance person. You probably have a financial advisor. You probably have a lawyer. You probably have an accountant. And go to them and go, hey, you know, at a grassroots level, hey, why don't you sponsor us? You know, why don't we, you know, and in sponsoring, I mean, you can put up a website for, what, $100 a year? And at minimum, you can charge just some of your local cronies, you know, a few $100 to put their information on your website as a sponsor. Then you can grow it, go a little bit bigger, how, you know, and maybe find a regional insurance company or a regional bank, and you can then grow it and, you know, go after national organizations. There's, you know, it's like anything else. Companies will sponsor your charity if you're putting eyes where they can have the eyes on the windows. And
let me just reiterate, companies will sponsor charities if then they get something out of it, if they get more people knowing about them. Is that,
yeah, I mean, you know, the days of companies just saying, hey, here's $100,000 to your charity because we love you, those days are pretty much gone. I mean, they just
didn't know they were ever either.
So the thing is, it depends on what you want. You know, if you want to just go and do something and feel good and make a difference, don't start a charity. It's a lot of flipping work. But if you've got a passion for an avenue or angle or some need that's not being fed or being served, well, yeah, absolutely. Go for the gusto, you know, and move your life from being simply successful to being significant.
You've collected hundreds of thousands of dollars given away to charity. I don't know what the exact figure is, but I know every year that you gather a lot of money that's given away to various charities.
Yeah, the main charity is the Ed Rigsby Vacation Fund.
And last year you went away to Magic Mountain, so you know that was pretty cool.
So we've given out $666,000 to various charities, mostly medical related charities, emergency relief funds, National Speakers Association foundation, it's not like millions, but you know, the money we gave made a difference to the people it made a difference to. And, you know, especially the Speakers Foundation, you know, I've had a lot of people come and, you know, call me or something and said, hey, you know, we just had a problem. You know, if they talk to me, I said, you know, go apply to the foundation. Call me later. Hey, the foundation gave me X amount, Y amount of money, really made a difference, was able to save my house or, you know, or whatever. So, we all have issues that we care about. And, you know, I look at this, you know, I figure if we put enough money into the foundation, you know, when I get sick and infirm, maybe they'll give me something. Who knows?
So anyhow, just to try and bring everything that we've had full circle and leave the people with some bullet points. First, find something that that you're involved in, that you're passionate about, and find other people who are equally as passionate who can help to fund the beginning of the nonprofit and also to possibly serve as the board of directors. And then approach the key, I guess, is to get as many people involved in your charity or donating to it so that you attract sponsors who will then give you even more money. Is that
that sums it up. Although there's a lot of roadblocks and pitfalls along the way, and the board of directors can be a major pitfall. So, you know, here's the thing. Be really clear on the mission and have a mission description and understand where you want to go. Do it broad enough that you can dance a little bit, but narrow enough that everybody understands. Because if everybody's on the same page trying to achieve the same thing, then good stuff happens. But what can happen so frequently in nonprofits, you know, you bring this board together because, well, this person's real bright or this person has access there. This person, you know, is maybe going to be a big donator. And then you've got infighting on the board, and you've got a situation where it becomes very, very difficult. I mean, even with the cigar peg, we had a time where, you know, I brought in people that I thought were pretty close to me as board members, and all of a sudden, some of them wanted to start changing the focus, you know, and that becomes a challenge. So one of the things that my lawyer, the Cigar Pigs lawyer, told me, he says, you know something, get a board of directors that are your friends, that they may not have quite the passion for this, but they're not going to be roadblocks. They're not going to be, you know, 2 years later trying to say, well, no, I don't want to go left, I want to go right, or trying to say, you know, I don't want to do green, I want to do blue. Yeah, and that happens a lot. I mean, it's amazing how much that happens. And so people, they go into it, and one of the huge pitfalls is they go into it, no, we don't have to have a description, we don't have to have all this paperwork, you know, we're all friends. No, because in two years, you know, what happens is people forget what they all agreed to. So having things written down, having a mission and a goal, it allows everybody to get on the same page. It's huge.
Cool. Anyhow, what is the website? If people are interested in learning more about the Cigar Peg, or at least seeing what it is that we do, what is the website they could visit?
It's conveniently called cigarpeg.com, CIGARPEG.com.
And you can go on there and see what we do. Hopefully you'll get some ideas, and you might want to start your own charity. And, you know, the purpose of this podcast is to give boomers something to do so they don't spend the whole afternoon watching Jerry Springer episodes.
Dale, I got an idea what they can do. They can go to cigarpeg.com, and where there's the donation button, they can click on that and then put some credit card information in and pick a number.
There you go. And you can be, and then you can join. And it's a beautiful thing. Ed, thank you so very much for joining us and helping us impart some very good information. Carolyn, Tim, any final words to wrap up this episode?
Hey, just timslagle.com.
TimSlagle.com. Visit his website, Carolyn.
CarolynStrauss.com. And I think it is important, find something that you believe in and donate to it. I'm a huge fan of the Cigar Peg, and my favorite thing is the swag, the t-shirts, the caps, and the backpack from 10 years ago. I still use it. Thank you.
Did you put in the request for your chapter ambassador t-shirt?
No, but I will get it when I see you in a couple weeks in Denver, Colorado, when it can be the Cigar Peg or anything you want to call it, because we're in Denver.
All right. And I'm Dale Irvin. Visit Dale Irvin, IRVIN.com. You can sign up for the Friday Funnies. I'll make you laugh in your email every single week. And of course, AnotherDayAboveGround.com. That's our website where you can leave us a message and tell us what you'd like to hear for upcoming episodes. Other than that, thanks for being with us. Go out and enjoy the rest of the day, because as we all know, it's another day above ground.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.